UK Wine Show, show number 128. Eduardo Beltran on Rioja. On this week's award-winning wine show, we're talking with Eduardo Beltran on Rioja.
And in the news, pubgoers penalised for drinking less, courts clear Banffy Brunello, and DrinkAware launched new campaign.
G'day! Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 128 for the 24th of October, 2008. My name's Chris Scott, and on this week's show, we're talking with Eduardo Beltran. Eduardo is the Director of Marketing for Festinho, and we talked to him about Rioja, the different regions, grapes, and styles of wine. And in this week's spotlight, we review Matt Skinner's latest book, Heard It Through the Grapevine. And in the quote, well, how are you going with these quotes? I hope they're not driving you crazy, but this one's quite fun, I think. This week's quote is, "You haven't drunk too much wine if you can still lie on the floor without holding on." Clues throughout the show, answers at the end. But next up, we have the news with Jane.
Thanks, Chris. The DrinkAware Trust is spending £1 million on a new advertising campaign to make people more aware of how much they are drinking at home. The campaign is entitled Alcohol, How Much is Too Much? And encourages us to use the evidence of cans and bottles that are filling up our recycling bins to gauge whether or not we're overdoing it. According to DrinkAware, drinking in the home can lull us into a false sense of security because we fail to take note of the amount we're consuming. And the home recycling bin is proof of your consumption, not only to yourself, but to the outside world.
Cheers for that, Jane. Well, if anybody looks at my recycling bin, it's absolutely chock-a-block at the end of a week. Not because I'm drinking all the wine, but because I run wine tasting. So I don't know if it applies to everybody out there. Certainly doesn't apply to me. But I do like to have a wee nosy at the sort of wines my neighbours drink. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. What's next, Jane?
Well, the Evening Standard newspaper has carried out a straw poll of pubs and bars in London to compare the pricing of small and large glasses of wine. And the findings show that drinkers are being penalised when they order a small glass of wine. According to the research, 92% of pubs and bars charge disproportionately more for a 175ml glass than for a 250ml glass. In the worst case, a 175ml glass was £3.50, compared to £4.25 for 250ml. So if the price of a small glass was based on the same price per milliliter as the larger glass, the small glass should only cost £3. And you may recall in a recent poll that we ran, 57% said they would prefer to buy a 175ml glass rather than either 250ml or 125ml. It seems only fair, therefore, that pricing's consistent across the sizes rather than offering better value for bigger glasses. The research comes as the government considers a mandatory code of practice for the drinks industry, which will determine how drinks are packaged, promoted and sold.
I'm not so sure I'm in favour of this. I looked at the numbers slightly differently. If you do a bit of algebra, you can work it out. Let's look at the worst case again, a 175ml glass for £3.50. If we say that the wine costs 1p a mil, then the wine in that glass costs £1.75. That leaves £1.75 for the bar to provide the service, clean the glasses, provide the venue, heating, and their profit. Now, if we look at the second case, a 250ml glass at £4.25, 250 mils at 1p a mil, that's £2.50 for the wine, again leaving the bar £1.75 to serve, wash the glasses, and provide the venue. That means that for the same service, they're charging the same amount, £1.75, including profit. If that's the worst case, then it seems fair to me, then all the other bars are actually subsidising the smaller glass. So I think the Evening Standard have got it completely around the wrong way. What's next, Jane?
Well, my last story this week is that the courts in Siena in Tuscany have released Banffy's 2003 Brunello, which was confiscated in April as part of a fraud investigation regarding the grapes used to make the wine. A lab test that measures the wine's anthocyanin level confirmed the wine is 100% Sangiovese, as required by law in Brunello. The impounded stock will be released and shipped with immediate effect, and the 2004 vintage will be released in February 2009. But while this high-profile wine producer has had its name cleared, the problem has by no means disappeared, with an ongoing investigation involving nearly 90 Brunello estates, according to local sources in Tuscany. That's it from me this week, but don't forget you can get these stories in full at our website 3050.co.uk.
Cheers, Jane. I'm not too sure about the lab test that's measuring the anthocyanin levels, which are colour pigments in the wine. Either way, still having 90 producers that are under the glaze of the authorities must be a worry. Our person in the quote was probably under the gaze of the authorities for his reputation. How are you getting on with the quote? You haven't drunk too much wine if you can still lie on the floor without holding on. Not a very whiny quote, but I think it's quite funny. The person who said it is an American singer, film actor, television personality, and comedian. He was one of the most well-known musical artists of the 1950s and 60s. Any ideas? Okay, never mind. Next up, we're going to cast the spotlight into Matt Skinner's latest book, Heard It Through the Grapevine. This is Matt's second proper wine book, if you ignore his annual wine recommendation books, mainly The Juice. And for me, it's a huge step up in quality from his first book, Thirsty Work. Whereas Thirsty Work looks superficially at wine regions and grape varieties, this new book, Heard It Through the Grapevine, looks at all the other parts of the wine. Matt has divided the book into five sections: shopping, drinking, eating, sleeping, and well-being. While the content is certainly nothing new and available through all sorts of other books, Matt's bright, picture-rich book is a great book for someone who wants to get the good oil on all things wine and gives a solid answer to the questions that most people want to know. With about half the book taken up with pictures, Heard It Through the Grapevine is a quick and easy read. It has about 170 pages. If you're a hardened wine anorak, there's nothing really new in the book, but it's a perfect book to give to someone as a present. You know, someone in maybe their 25s to 45, who's an inquiring mind, interested in wine, but little real experience with it. I think it would also fit quite comfortably under many Christmas trees or Father's Day gifts. While the content is not new, he has managed to cover most things people want to know about. The thing is, most books go on about countries and grape varieties, and really, an atlas is not really that much use to you. But in this book, Matt has managed to answer many of the common questions. Should I store wine or not? And what goes well with dinner? Who should I buy wine off? And why? And what are the advantages of doing so? I think Matt's done a good, solid, broad appeal wine book for most people who aren't in the trade and who don't know much about wine. In the end, though, I gave Matt an 86 out of 100, which I thought was quite good. That ends this week's spotlight. Next week, we're going to review the results of our month's poll. If you recall, in the current economic climate, are you cutting back or spending more on wine? Do go to our website, 3050.co.uk, and go to the podcast section, and from there you can find a link on the right-hand side to have your say. Speaking of having your say, how are you getting on with that quote? You haven't drunk too much wine if you can still lie on the floor without holding on. Well, I'll give you some more clues. He was born in Ohio, but dropped out of school in the 10th grade because, in his own words, he thought he was smarter than the teachers. He delivered bootleg liquor, served as a speakeasy croupier. The person quoted seemingly never used elevators, and his early career in New York must have been very painful in all those skyscrapers. While in New York, our quotee teamed up with a person called Jerry Lewis. Any ideas? Well, have we think about that, because next up we're going to have our interview with Eduardo Beltran from Rioja. Let's have we listen to that. Hi, I'm here with Eduardo Beltran. How are you, Eduardo?
Very nice, thank you.
Excellent. We're going to be talking a wee bit about Rioja and the different areas of Rioja and some of the rules in Rioja, really. Uh-huh. Rioja is quite a big region. Where is it in relation to Spain?
We are in the north of Spain. Mm-hmm. We are very near of the Ebro River.
Yep. Just geographically, is it? It's north of Madrid.
Yes, it's in the north of Madrid, and very near Bilbao, for example. It's another important city in the north of Spain.
Yep.
And
it's about 4 hours. I drove up from Barcelona.
Yes.
And it took me about 4.5 hours.
We are 500 kilometers, more or less, from Barcelona.
Yep.
And
must mean I was speeding a wee bit.
Yes. It's better if we speak in hours. We are 5 hours away in Barcelona and 3 hours in the north of Madrid, more or less.
3 hours north of Madrid,
yes,
and 5 hours,
5 hours
west of Barcelona.
Yes, this is okay. This is more or less.
Yep, and it's quite high up. It's like I've been in Barcelona for the last couple of days, and it was quite warm, even though we're recording this in February, mid-February, and up in Rioja here, it's actually quite cold. How high up are we?
Yes, we today we have a very special weather. It's not usual in the last day to have this sensation.
Oh, okay, it's not.
Yes. But the normal is that here, as you say, we will have more cold than in Barcelona, for example.
Yeah.
We are higher than Barcelona.
How much higher?
500, more or less, 500, 600.
500, 600 meters. Okay. So normally you lose a degree of temperature, degree centigrade for every 100 meters, so you're probably about 5 degrees colder than Barcelona, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, roughly, give or take. Yeah.
Yes.
Rioja itself is not just one region. It's actually made up of three regions. What are the three regions in Rioja?
It's the Rioja Baja.
Rioja Baja.
Rioja Alavesa and Rioja Alta.
Okay.
This is the main regions.
Rioja Baja. I've tried a few. When I was in Barcelona, I tried a Rioja Baja and a Rioja Alto. You know, the wines were made purely from those regions. How do the regions change, because they seem to be quite different wines to me?
I think that the difference is due to a situation. Mm-hmm. You understand me?
Yeah.
Due to a situation. Because maybe the most special is the Rioja Alavesa. That it's a way that is very, very well protected with these mountains. We are now in Oyón, and we can see a chain of mountains, mm-hmm, that protect us from the cold winds that comes from the north of Spain.
Okay, so and cold winds from the north.
Yes, and then this part is our vineyard in the Rioja Alavesa, in the way that is between near the village of La Guardia, Oyón, this village, mm-hmm, that is where Faustino's group has his vineyards.
Yep.
It's a way very special. It's a region very special because it's very protected.
Yep.
By the mountains,
yep,
and has some altitude,
yep, yep,
and has a very special, very wonderful conditions for the to make wine.
Okay, and what's Rioja Baja like?
Rioja Baja has maybe is more sound,
yep,
with less protection,
yep,
is more hot,
yep,
than this way. This,
yeah,
is more or less.
I wasn't quite sure what the climate difference was. But when I tasted the Rioja Baja, I thought it tasted a lot heavier,
yes,
and a lot fuller, and maybe certainly not as much crisp acidity to the wine,
yes,
and maybe even a slightly more cooked than maybe the Rioja Alavesa.
Yes. And Rioja Alta is more or less more similar than with Rioja Alavesa. More,
okay,
or less.
Is maybe it higher or?
Yes, maybe it's higher.
We were higher.
Yes. But the most
alto means high, doesn't it, in Spanish?
Alto.
What does it mean in Spanish?
Alto.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't know, alto, I thought it meant height.
Ah, high is alto. Yes.
It doesn't mean that.
Yes, no, it doesn't mean nothing.
Ah.
And Rioja Baja is maybe the most different.
Oh, okay, and it produces the heavier wines. But do you guys make a wine specifically from Rioja Baja or Rioja Alavesa?
For us, the best region is Rioja Alavesa. It's the region that has the best conditions to make wine, to make excellent wines, to reflect the style of Rioja.
Rioja's got some funny rules about aging wines. You've got the three stars: Crianza,
yes,
Reserva,
yes,
and Gran Reserva. There are rules about aging. Do you want to just tell us what they are?
Yes. Crianza is a wine that has been 2 years in the winery.
2 years, yeah.
And at least 12 months in oak.
So 2 years in the winery, 1 year in oak at least.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you can have your wine 14 months in oak, 10 months in bottle. But
yeah,
it depends on you. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
But it is. And the Reserva is a wine that has been at least 3 months in winery.
3 months.
Three years. And in this time, at least 12 months in oak. And the Grand Reserva is a wine that has been 5 years, at least 5 years in winery. And in this time, at least 2 years in oak.
I've noticed some Cranthas that I've tried have used American oak, some have used French oak. Is there any rules about what style of oak you're allowed to use?
No, you can use the type of oak that you want. Mm-hmm. The type of oak that you want to use to get the style of wine that you look for. This is the most important.
Do you use the same grapes for the Carantha as the Grand Reserva? How do you differentiate between the wines, you know?
Yes, for the Grand Reserva, we have to use grapes that are going to be in best conditions in a long time. Mm-hmm. Because it's a wine that you are going to consume, to taste later. Sure. Then you have to select more the grapes to elaborate this type of wine. Because it's a wine that is going to be two more time in the oak,
yep.
And you know that the oak has very powerful, and then you need a grape with powerful to resist the time and these type of things.
Yeah. Well, wines often lose acidity and tannins as they age. Do you make the wines differently, or do you make them all the same and just pick the wines that's best?
We try to make different styles. Mm-hmm. Different styles, because the wines are different. The Crianza is a younger wine with more fruit, with more intense color, and the Grand Reserva is an older wine, more fine, with less fruit, with more oak, more ensemble. More ensemble, the Crianza, and these are the different wines. And then you need having different styles, and you must have defined before what you want to keep these wines.
So if you're making a Grand Reserva, you might give it more skin contact and
things like that.
To get more flavors and tannins out of them.
We use different technicals to make these wines.
The other wine that we tried earlier was a cava.
Uh-huh.
And now most people normally think of cava coming from Penders near Barcelona. And we've done a couple of shows down there. But we tried your cava as well, and it tasted a wee bit different to the Penders stuff. Why was Rioja allowed to keep making cava when a lot of regions in France lost the right to call it cava?
I don't know exactly, Chris, but this is because of a governmental law that was dated 20 years ago, but I don't know exactly why.
Okay,
but in Spain, you can elaborate cava in Catalonia, in Rioja, in Valencia, in Extremadura, in the south. In different regions, but you can elaborate. I'll try to explain. For example, here we are one of the. I think that only 3 or 4 wineries can make cava.
Oh, really?
Only the Dio Cava say that this vineyard is perfect to elaborate to make cava with these grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Not in any vineyard can sell grapes to make cava.
Oh, okay. So
only in a very specific vineyard and very specific wineries.
Oh, okay.
For example, we don't make cava in Marques de Vitoria or in Campillo. We only make cava in Faustino.
Oh, okay. I tried your cava, and the thing I noticed when I was in Penders trying the cavas were that they didn't have as much acidity as others, whereas your wine had quite a lot more refreshing acidity to the wine. Not a good thing or a bad thing, just I noticed it was a difference. Is that typical of cavas from Rioja?
Yes, the cava that you can find here is maintaining this style.
Yeah.
Maintain this style.
All right, I think we'll wrap it up there, Eduardo. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for you.
That ends this week's Look at Rioja. Next week, we're going to have a complete change in tack by looking at the green credentials of bulk wine importing. We're going to be talking with Kingsland, a large bottling company in Manchester. But before we finish off, let's find out about that quote. The quotee, any joy on Jerry Lewis's partner? Well, the quote is quite different to last week. You haven't drunk too much wine if you can still lie on the floor without holding on. Seemingly, our quote's reputation as a heavy drinker, a reputation encouraged by his license plate reading drunk. Apparently, he's remarkably self-disciplined. His other friends included Frank Sinatra, who was also a member of the Rat Pack with him. I'm talking about Dean Martin. Until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Chris Scott and the news is read by Jane Scott. To listen to other shows, visit ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.